We're going to celebrate with the Christmas story today, and then I got a couple of things to share with you, and then you'll be out in time for early lunch. It's going to be great. The early part, at least, I can guarantee you that. So have you ever said, made this statement, something happens, you say, man, that's like an early Christmas. Anybody ever? Is it my only one that uses that phrase? Because I have to go home right now if that's... Sorry. It's like an early Christmas that happens. And what happens, that means that we got blessed. We got something that was way above and beyond. This morning, as we talk about Christmas today, is the title of the message. We're going to move toward that. And we're going to move from the idea of a good exchange rate. Okay, a good exchange rate. How many of you guys are here from Canada yet? All right. Is the exchange rate good or bad for you right now? One says this, the other says this. I'm not really sure. Over the years, I've had people say that we can't come back because it's just so expensive. It goes up, it's like 35 or 40% more expensive to live here 1 year. And then the exchange rates between the dollar and the Canadian dollar fluctuate. And it's kind of like you never know what you're going to get. There are stories on the border that I think particularly with milk and dairy products, that from Canada to the United States, that people from Canada... when the exchange rate was in their favor, would come across and they would buy those goods on this side of the border, and it was worth making a trip. And then as the exchange rate kind of evens out, they say it's just not worth coming back and forth. And so the exchange rate is important when you trade your if you can trade a penny for a dollar, you should do that every time. And then you should take that dollar and break it into 100 more pennies, and you should exchange that up as many times as someone will let you and give you the exchange rate that's favorable to you. You should grab a hold of that. An exchange rate's important, but sometimes it's a little bit scary if you travel abroad because you don't know what the exchange rate is. So there was a story about a friend, a guy named Preston. He was on vacation in the Czech Republic, and they had made a reservation at a restaurant that was well rated and was highly esteemed, and they were known for their champagne brunches. And so they went there, and they didn't do their research. They just decided to go. They heard it was great. They were going, so they went in, and they had this wonderful meal of lobster and smoked salmon and a variety of different beverages. And when they were finished, they got a little bit concerned. They thought, man, you never know, it's the exchange rate. We didn't check it out. And so they got the bill, and they were a little bit sheepish about it. They looked at it, and for two of them to eat this magnificent meal, it was $10. So they left a $10 tip, and the two of them got out for this magnificent deal for $20. But there have been other experiences with other people where you go to do that in a foreign country, and you think it's going to be this, and it's like... four or five times. And it's the same dollar bill, right? We always want to trade up. We always want to do to it the thing that is to our advantage. God, very fortunately, is not like that. He's not like that. We're going to read the Christmas story. It's long, but it's Christmas. And it's a good story. So Joey, put it up there for me if you would. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census while Quirinius, was governor of Syria. And everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea and Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house in the line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. And while they were there, the time came for the baby to be born. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, and she wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, watching over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you, and he is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign unto you. You will find the baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly, a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, just what we sang, "Glory to God in the highest, and on peace, on earth, peace, goodwill toward men." I'm doing it like I always remembered it. And on earth, peace, whatever it said up there. It's good stuff. When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that's happened, which the Lord has told us about. So they hurried off, and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. And when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up these things and pondered them in her heart. The Christmas story. It doesn't change year to year. We hear it. And yet it's a magnificent, magnificent story of a great exchange, at least as far as we're concerned. So what we find in this story, at least what I found in this story to share with you this morning, is that his loss was our gain. See, I don't know if it's still this way, but I had heard at one time there was a tax break for people who had large houses, and you had a one-time buy-down opportunity where you could go from a big house, expensive house, to a smaller, less expensive house and not pay capital gains tax. All right, so it was a one-time buy-down. You had to be a certain age. It was a government thing, so there was like probably 1,000 regulations. But it was a pretty good deal, and I heard about some people who did it. I don't know if it's still out there or not. But God, Jesus, did a major buy-down at Christmas. All right? You see, he owned his home in heaven for forever and ever and ever because he was with God. Jesus was with God before time began for us. And he lived in this place, and I'm sure, pretty sure that by now, by that time of the, Jesus came down, they had things pretty much like they liked it after like 1,000 or million or billion years or however long forever is. It's that. It's not even understandable. So they had the house, they had the mansions, they had everything that they needed was just perfect. But Jesus did a buy down, and he went down from the best place to the worst place. From heaven to here. And if we think about that in terms of heaven to here, we still scratch our heads and we kind of understand that. But it would be kind of like, I went online and I checked to see what homes were available here on the island. And the highest priced home that I found, it doesn't mean there aren't more, was $2.999 million. Now, there's probably some that are more expensive than that. And then I checked out in Laguna Heights because I thought, I wonder what the cheapest home out there I could find that's for sale. Doesn't mean there aren't more expensive or less expensive. Was about $125,000. The one in Laguna Heights had a little over 1,000 square feet. The one here had about 5,000 square feet. So to think about the buy down, to think about the great exchange that God made, it's like he had the ocean view. And since he owned the world and owned all of heaven, there were no taxes, there were no fees. He didn't even have to pay anything because he owned it all. And then he bought down into Laguna Heights, into one of the small homes, a little two-bedroom house. And he moved in to live with you because that's kind of the disparity that there is in the great exchange of God coming to earth. And what he did is he came down and he said, I'm going to live among you. And if you'll recognize me for who I am and you'll let me into your house, let you into your life, you'll believe and you'll trust me as the Lord and the Savior and the God, then when the time is right, then I'll take you back to the big house. And I'm not talking about the big house because that came out wrong. I'll take you to jail, the prison. No, I'm talking about the mansion on the beach, the mansion overlooking the Crystal Sea, the mansion with the gated community that has golden streets. I'll take you there. And so his loss is our gain. Secondly, in Matthew 20:28, it reads this way. The Son of Man did not come to serve, but to serve. And to give his life as a ransom for many. So the second thing he did, his cost was our gain. His cost was our gain. He came down, but not only did he come away from heaven, but then he did this whole life of service, doing stuff for everybody else, making ways for everybody else to be happy, to know God, to experience God in the fullness, to live in joy. So God gave and he served and he served and he served. And his cost of service was our gain. And it's like an unfair exchange like we did with the kids. I mean, he came from everything, in charge of everything, to come down and to just giving stuff away and just serving and completely giving everything up. It's like one of those gift exchanges that you participate in and they put a limit on it. You know, like it's a limit $5, limit $20 gift exchange, whatever. How you do it with your families or friends or whatever. But then there's always that one gift that comes in. It's pretty awesome. You know, and you're vying, you're hoping you get that one gift if there's some kind of exchange and you come away on the good side. Well, God did that for us so that when He serves us, we walk away with great gain. So not only is His loss our gain, His cost is our gain. Thirdly, His shame is our gain. In 2 Corinthians, we read this. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has gone, and the new has come. So the first thing he gives us this new life, and all of this is from God who reconciled to us, to Himself through Christ, and He gave us the ministry of reconciliation. And then we jump ahead to verse 21, and it says this. And God made Him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God. And so in the exchange that took place at the manger was only part of it. It always led to the cross. There was never a time when this was it. This was just step one of Him coming. And it ended up, as we look at that last part of that verse again, Joey, just for another minute, leave it up there if you would. We look at this part, and here's what happened. His shame. He took on shame for our gain. He, who had no sin, took on all the sin, all the wrongdoing of everyone who would believe. He hung there naked, and He took the shame. He took our punishment, and His shame brought about our gain. So not only did His loss equal our gain, His cost equal our gain, His shame equals our gain. You see a common denominator here? We win. Every time God does something, we win. It may be in the short term not look that way, but we win for all who believe. And lastly, we start at the manger, we end at the cross, and then actually the resurrection. His pain is our gain. In Ephesians, we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace. So His pain is our gain. We win every time we walk into the relationship with God with open minds and with faith. The children, they trusted me. They traded up. They gave me what I asked for. And I was able to bless them in a very small way. God doesn't need anything from you. And He doesn't need anything from me. He does, however, if we walk in faith in Him, require that we trust Him. It's a great exchange. And if you trust in God, and if you have your faith in Him, you're on the winning side. And why does God do that? As I said last night, He could have made a way for salvation, put up some criteria, and just stayed where He was. He made the rules. He could have done that. But He wants a relationship with us. And His motive is love. Because God, the God we know, is love. So I hope that you have early Christmas today. And I also hope that you have Christmas every day.